Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and indeed education, and we do it without any manipulation. It's simply 30 minutes of no-nonsense biblical information, and there are no strings attached. My job is to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, and your job is to orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. But if you've ever had a question about God, if you've ever been fed up with the games and the gimmicks of organized religion, then you're in the right place. Because this Flatline, this show, The Flatline, is a show that is designed to give you accurate information. No useless speculation. I have a wonderful friend of mine who calls useless speculation AI. AI. Alpha. And then the I with it. What could you call I? Alpha information. But AI actually stands for arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance and ignorance. This is the tool of Satan. Satan will use arrogance and ignorance in the life of any person who can be manipulated by his will. So we want to give you some divine viewpoint. We want to give you what the Bible says, not what Satan would have you believe. And this is very important because we're talking about a subject that is a very hard subject to cover. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a third take on this radio show. I record these shows at my office, and then I mail them out to the various radio stations that air these shows, and this is the third take on this show. I get the feeling that someone doesn't want this information out there. And so now, hopefully, the third time that I'm after this, I might say it right. I'm my biggest critic. I'm always thinking about, why did I say that, or how did I say that? Did people understand that? See, what I'm trying to do is give you the mechanics of the spiritual life and help you organize in your soul a flatline, a flatline. That's the name of our radio show, Flatline, Flot, F-L-O-T. That's a military acronym for the forward line of troops. And on our radio show, we're teaching you that if you will learn the Word of God, understand it, and deploy it into your soul, it acts like a flatline. It keeps out the bad stuff. You know, the enemy, when the enemy wants to overrun the command post and capture or kill those people that are there, has to get through the forward line of troops first, or the main line of resistance. Well, I'm trying to, through the scriptures, help you establish a main line of resistance in your soul to keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure stress. This will help you as you learn the Word of God. Many of you have your own local churches, and I am not a pastor. That's not my job. My job is to point you towards an effective pastor. My job is to give you information, and hopefully by hearing the information, then you can think, well, am I being fed at my own church? Am I hearing truth there? Am I growing in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I mean, by hearing truth, you will know what is not truth when you hear it. Does that make sense? By hearing truth, you will know what is not truth when you hear it. And it's amazing how many people don't hear truth, but they hear what we will call evil. Evil is the genius of Satan. Now, this radio show for the last 2 weeks has been dealing with evil and what it is and where it came from. And I would simply like to say that evil originated and existed even before human history in the mind of Satan. It's the genius of Satan. It is his genius that opposes the grace of God. And so evil can be found in organized religion. It was evil that God warned Adam and Eve about when he said, stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a lot of people think, well, the good is good stuff and evil is bad stuff, but that wasn't what it was. You see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil is the genius of Satan, and good is the production when you follow that genius. You see, what did Adam and Eve do in the Garden of Eden that was good? Well, they clothed themselves with fig leaves when they were guilty of sin. That's called human good. They tried to mask their sin before God. But he saw the problem, and eventually he created for them clothing made out of animal skin. And this animal was sacrificed as a redemption solution to their sin. Blood had to be shed, and they wore the skin of the animal, not the fig leaf. The fig leaf was their attempt to resolve the problem. But God resolved the problem, and the problem was they came to know evil, and as a result, committed human good. So let me lay this out for you. The grace of God has a policy of good called divine good. The evil genius of Satan has a policy of good called human good. Human good is best seen in organized religion. And divine good is best seen in the Christian life, or faith alone in Christ alone. So when you take the Bible in its purest form and see it, you will see that as Christ lives in and through you, yes, you do good, but it's called divine good. It's the good motivated by the filling of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to the Word of God. But human good that comes from the production of evil, such as the wearing of the fig leaves, is what religion conjures up as some way to approbate God. It's more of a rewards-based salvation. And that's not what the Bible teaches. And therefore, if you hear us say on this radio show that it's faith alone in Christ alone, then you understand that regardless of what you do, you cannot be saved apart from the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So how does a person get saved? Well, clearly the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest someone would brag about it. But evil would say, this is the genius of Satan, using organized religion to deceive and distract people from the truth. Evil would say, oh yes, you can be saved if you give up something. If you don't do something. See, like if you give up smoking and give up drinking and give up any movie that's not rated, you know, above a G, then you can be saved. But if you watch that R-rated movie, you might not be saved. Or if you drink that beer, you might not be saved. Or if you smoke that cigarette, you might not be saved. See, that's how religion would try to enslave you or manipulate you or to get you to live by a system that they endorse. That's evil. It's always a reward-based effort that says I'm going to go to heaven because of what I did or what I didn't do. But Christianity is not that. Christianity is a relationship. It's Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, coming to live inside of you. So Paul said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ in me. He is the hope of glory. He lives inside of us. And you go to heaven because you have believed in him and received him as your Savior, not because you followed some counterfeit gospel. The evil counterfeit gospel found in the Bible can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. Paul nailed this right on the head. He says, if our gospel be hidden, and that's the gospel of faith alone in Christ alone. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. And why are they lost? Well, because of arrogance. Listen to the next verse. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine in unto them. Wow. Christ is the image of God. And you see, Satan is able to blind people through arrogance not to believe that. And one of the questions you could always ask a person is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And many people will say yes or no, and many people are religious that say, no, I don't believe that. And so then you think, well, why do you go to church? There are many religions, including the religion of Islam, that does not believe that Jesus Christ was the anointed Son of God. They simply believe that he was a prophet and not quite as good as the prophet Muhammad, I might add. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. They have a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit faith. And organized religion always tries to produce good or a utopia or a perfect paradise by manipulating, controlling people. Well, I mean, there was utopia in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, didn't they? I mean, do you really think that if we had perfect environment on this world, if we had this, quote, utopia, that people would love one another and get along with one another? No. Why not? Because we have a sin nature. We received it from Adam. Adam sinned voluntarily. We are infected with it from birth. I mean, who taught you how to lie? Who taught you how to steal? Nobody. You just knew how to do it. That's your sin-infused human nature. So Satan has a counterfeit gospel, and this counterfeit gospel is able to successfully blind people to the truth that it's faith alone in Christ alone, and that's the only way that anyone can ever go to heaven. And the people that effectively blind people to this are counterfeit ministers. There are ministers that will stand in churches all over the United States this Sunday. Listen to what the Bible says. For such are false apostles, these people that preach salvation by works or salvation by some sort of rewards-based religion. I'm reading now from 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing, verse 15 says, if his ministers, did you get that personal pronoun? His ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Wow. You mean you could be watching a guy on television or listening to a guy on the radio, a guy like me, and he not even be giving you the truth? Absolutely. How would you know? Well, what's his message? Is his message faith alone in Christ alone? Or is his message faith plus baptism, faith plus giving, faith plus not drinking, faith plus not committing suicide, faith plus, you see, anytime you add plus whatever, anytime you add plus to faith, you cancel the faith. It's faith alone in Christ alone. It's not faith plus something. There are some religions that do not believe you can go to heaven if you don't take communion. Can you be saved if you believe that? Well, is that faith plus taking communion? What do you have to do to be saved? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you hear anything about taking communion? Did you hear anything about not drinking and not smoking and not doing this and not doing that? See, this is what religion does. This is how genius evil is. Religion will manipulate you and chain you up, coerce you into living a lifestyle that's impossible to follow. So you constantly have a guilt complex, or if you stick pretty close to it, you have a self-righteous complex. You know, the holier-than-thou guy? Both of them are obnoxious, and both of them wind up in hell because they believed a false gospel. See, that's the genius of Satan. Evil is the genius of Satan, and grace is the policy of God. And Satan does not want to go to the lake of fire. He would rather beat the Lord Jesus Christ to the millennium and set up his own kingdom called a utopia. It's not going to happen because men have sin natures, and there will never be a utopia on this earth. Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars until I come back again. Do you know that Satan even has his own doctrines that people buy into? Did you know that? It's really plain to see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It's not complicated. Listen, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. There it is in the Bible, doctrines of demons. What would be an example of a doctrine of a demon? Salvation by works. Spirituality by works. It's anything that distorts the grace of God. See, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you sin, problem-solving device number one is rebound. You confess the sin, and you forget about it, and you move on. What would evil be? Well, you confess the sin publicly in front of everybody. Get up in front of the church and tell everybody what you did, and then promise that you won't ever do that again. You see, that's evil. That's the genius of Satan, to humiliate you, to manipulate you, to control you. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to have privacy as a believer priest. And you can go to your Heavenly Father 24/7 and you can kneel before Him and you can say, "My Father, my God, I just sinned." And He said, "I'll be faithful and just to forgive you." Not only does He have His own ministers, and not only does He have His own doctrine, and not only does He have His own gospel, but the amazing thing is He even has His own communion table. Yes, Satan has his own communion table. Now, you've taken communion in your church, haven't you? You put that piece of bread in your mouth that represents the body of Christ, and you've sipped the cup of juice that represents the blood of Christ. You know where He said, "This do in remembrance of me"? Did you remember Him when you did that? Or did your mind wander? But what is the communion that Satan brings forth? Well, listen, it's in organized religion. It's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19, 20, and 21. Here it is. "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons." Now, here it is. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Wow. What is that? Well, it's Satan's communion table. It's his doctrine. It's people in organized religion, such as the Gentiles were in the Greek culture, the temple of Aphrodite. Yes, okay. What were they doing? They were having their feasts. They were having their drunken orgies. And the believers in Corinth were going down to the temple and still going down and then coming back to the church, and they were being synchronistic. You can't do this. You can't have fellowship with Satan and fellowship with God. It's not going to work. You can't go down to that communion table and come back to this communion table. Wow. You see, evil is the genius of Satan. He even has a counterfeit spirituality. Did you know that? The word spirituality, that's a legitimate word in the Bible. And when the Bible says, God says He wants you to be a spiritual Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a legitimate word. It means a mature believer who represents Jesus Christ. But in Galatians, the Bible talks about it this way. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, "This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh?" What does that mean? It means that people try to be spiritual in the energy of the flesh. Spirituality is related to the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, not the old sin nature. But if a person says, "You know, I'm spiritual because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't dance, I don't wear my hair long, yada, yada, yada," you know, it's a system of taboos. Spirituality is not a system of taboos. Spirituality is produced when the Holy Spirit controls your life. Where did you get the Holy Spirit when you got saved? Ephesians 1:13 said He seals you and indwells you until the day of redemption. You got Him the day you got saved. Does He leave you? No. This is not an endowment that leaves you. This is an indwelling that stays with you. Well, when were you filled with the Spirit? When you got saved. Well, when did you lose the filling of the Spirit? When you sinned. You quenched the Spirit. You grieved the Spirit. Well, how did I get the filling of the Spirit back again? When you confess your sin. When you rebound. You rebound, 1 John 1:9, and you're filled with the Spirit. It's not some nebulous, weird second blessing that comes down the road that gives you this unique ability to speak in unknown tongues and do miracles. That's evil. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a powerful way of living your life every day under the influence of God the Holy Spirit as He reveals truth to you and as He represents Jesus Christ in and through your life by you taking on the character assets of Christ called the fruit of the Spirit. So counterfeit spirituality is there. There's even a counterfeit righteousness. And that's the lure of the self-righteous person who thinks he's going to heaven because he doesn't do certain things. You see, Satan's false teachers even have phony and hypocritical facade in front of their face, and they even use human public relations as a system of flirtation with the public. They appeal to arrogance and pride. And I can give you verses on all of this. If you want to write them down, his false teachers have phony and hypocritical facade, Matthew 7:15 and Romans 16:18. And I said they use human public relations as a system of flirtation with the world. Galatians 4:17-18. You want to hear what it says? They zealously seek you, but not for good. Yea, they would exclude you that you might seek them. But it is good to be zealously sought always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. See, this is the enemy seeking you, trying to recruit you, using human system of flirtation to attract you into their religion, into their evil faith. Are you bought that easy? Does it just take a little bit of approbation and the next thing you know, you're down there worshiping with him? This is why preachers visit your house. I mean, come on, they're trying to recruit you. This is why football coaches visit the house of the high school football player to recruit him to come to this university. And this is why the pastor's visiting you to recruit you. The only problem is, what's he going to teach you once he recruits you? Is he going to teach you faith alone in Christ alone? Is he going to teach you spirituality by grace, that you're filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit? Whenever that pastor comes to visit you and you wonder, should you go to his church, there are two questions you can ask him. Number one, pastor, tell me how to be saved. And if he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then that's it. He's a good guy. But if he says, well, you know, you got to take a serious look at it and you got to consider what you've been doing and, you know, you got to stop doing that sort of stuff and you got to, and he may throw in believe in Christ. He may put that in the mix, okay, granted. But then he's going to say, and, you know, you need to get baptized, you need to join up, and, well, now we're into faith plus something. And then you could ask him another question. What must I do to be a spiritual Christian? And see if he even mentions the Holy Spirit or letting the Holy Spirit control your life. Why would you want to join a church if a guy didn't know what he's talking about? Just because he flirted with you and he used some human public relation campaign? You see, people like this appeal to your own pride and your own ignorance. This is not what the Bible appeals to, not at all. The Bible is the Word of God. It is alive and powerful and sharper than even a two-edged sword. And it doesn't appeal to your ignorance. It says study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It says to grow in the grace of their Lord, of knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some, that is, the ones that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. And they're not very wise. See, this is the arrogance and the pride of organized religion. That's why evil is so dangerous. It is the genius of Satan. And human good, which comes from the genius of Satan, is motivated by evil. It's been an issue since the fall of man. It's always been an issue. Human good is the strength of the old sin nature. Do you have an old sin nature? Yes. Can your old sin nature do good things? Yes. The first old sin nature that did a good thing was when Adam and Eve clothed themselves with fig leaves. God saw right through it. The second old sin nature, we're told in the Bible, did a good thing was Cain preparing a sacrifice and bringing it to God, but wasn't what God wanted. And then he got mad and murdered his brother. There's your old sin nature, all right. So, this good. See, let me ask you a question. Now, this is getting kind of deep, so don't drift on me. Are you still there? Did you fall asleep? Don't fall asleep. Listen. What was judged on the cross? Sin. What was paid for on the cross? Sin. Where is good judged? Human good. Will it ever be judged? Oh, yes. This is what the judgment in the future is about. There are two judgments in the future. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where believers are judged, and it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16. You can read it. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones, and what's rewardable and what's not rewardable. The wood, hay, and stubble in that passage is none other than human good. It's a right thing that was done in a wrong way that would be destroyed. And the gold, silver, and precious stone, that's divine good, manufactured by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and rewardable and acceptable by our great God. What about the unbeliever? He's judged in Revelation chapter 20. Why is he judged? For all of his sins? No. No, not at all. Christ was judged for his sins. He's judged out of two things. Is his name in the book of life? No, the Bible says. And secondly, what about the books of works? Huh, there it is. The books of works, the human good of the unbeliever. Does his work equal the perfect righteousness of God? And the answer is no. There are none that are righteous. Not even one, the Bible says. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. But he's going to get his day in court. He's going to say, look what I did. And Jesus said, the Bible says he'll tell him, I never knew you. Depart from me. You said you did all this. And the guy said, Lord, did I not do this and did I not do that? He said, I never knew you. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't associate with human good. And that is not the way to get to heaven, by being good or self-righteous. There is only one way to get to heaven, and that is faith alone in Christ alone. And organized religion, which is the root of evil, will never tell you that. They will always mislead you, manipulate you, coerce you into a rewards-based salvation, and you will die not knowing if you're in fact even saved, and hoping, just hoping, that you'll go to heaven. Oftentimes I'll ask people, do you know if you're going to heaven? And they'll say, well, I sure hope so. You know, the Bible says you can know it in 1 John 5:11-16. These things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope it, know it. And the reason you can know it is you don't go to heaven based on what you did or don't do. You go to heaven based on what Christ did for you and the fact that you received that forgiveness through faith. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can make that decision even today. You can tell God the Father that you've made a mistake, that you've been trying to be saved by being good enough. And now you realize that it's only through the finished work of Christ on the cross, and you are willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and depend only on Him. And that'll be the day of your salvation. I assure you of that. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.